Welcome to the Investment Answers Podcast. I'm Travis Turlaw.
And I'm Kelly Turlaw, and we're glad you're here.
We're a real couple that owns an actual financial planning firm.
Travis is a certified financial planner, an independent investment advisor representative, and the company's founder and CEO.
And Kelly is the chief operations officer, not only at Investment Answers, but also for our family.
A couple that works together stays together. Well, that might not always be true, but it works for us.
But that's why we make such a good team. I have the language and know-how to navigate this industry, and you're the total paranoid cynic.
All right, there's a lot going on there. Enough about us. What are we talking about this week?
Well, I'd like to continue where we left off from episode 3, which was the Happy Birthday Roth IRA episode. So this is really going to be part 2 of our discussion of IRAs. So as you remember in episode 3, we celebrated the 20th birthday of the Roth IRA.
Yay!
Where we discussed when traditional and Roth IRAs were created and why. So we specifically focused on the benefits of the Roth IRA. So check out episode 3 if you really want a thorough discussion about Roth IRAs specifically. But that led into a lot of questions from you, and those are questions we hear a lot from clients or prospective clients. So it just made sense to do a separate podcast contrasting the two, the traditional IRA versus the Roth IRA.
Yeah, because they're not the same. The Roth IRA was created about 20 years after the traditional IRA, and for good reason.
Right. And for those listeners out there, our goal is to make our discussion today to be a useful tool for you to really help you understand the differences between the two so that you can make an educated choice for you and for your family.
I find it helpful when these are so similar. If you take notes on the differences between the two, then I don't get confused personally when you're discussing the differences, because in some ways they're similar, but then they're also very different.
Yeah, that's true. And I can see how they can be confusing. And what we're trying to do is shed some light on their benefits and differences.
Well, obviously, if you're out there driving, don't text and drive. Yeah, don't text your notes or write your notes and drive, even worse. But maybe when you have some time, you can listen to the podcast with a piece of paper in front of you and just make two columns. One would be traditional IRA. Mm-hmm. One would be Roth IRA, and that can help you jot down some of the notes, help you keep track of the different numbers that are important for each one of them, maybe the benefits and some of the restrictions, and just keep them separate in those categories.
Wow, that's a really great idea.
Okay, babe, you ready? You want to dig right into this?
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, so first off, we're going to define an IRA. So what is an IRA? An IRA stands for an individual retirement account, or a long time ago it used to stand for an individual retirement arrangement. So if you have earned income, you can contribute to an IRA. Now that's W-2 or 1099 self-employment income. You own the IRA yourself. You cannot have a jointly owned IRA. So, Kelly, you and I cannot own an IRA together. You would have to have your IRA, and I would have to have my IRA separately.
Okay.
Now, you can have an IRA from an employer, but we're not discussing employer-sponsored IRAs here today.
But that's where you put part of your paycheck away each pay period, and then your employer matches a portion of your contribution, right?
Right, but we really don't want to go down that rabbit hole today.
No, because that's where everybody's eyes really start to glaze over with all the details. And really, in finance, the devil is in the details, but it can be really challenging to follow all of it. It's almost like they're trying to make it incredibly confusing.
Who? The IRS and financial institutions make something confusing? Never. They would never do anything like that.
No, they wouldn't do that to us.
Well, let's just keep it really simple for the purpose of today's discussion, okay? So having earned income makes you eligible for an IRA. You own an IRA yourself. This is a separate account that you have to open up at a financial institution, maybe a bank or a broker house or something like that. You're responsible to fund it by either writing a check or setting up an auto transfer. And once you put those funds into your IRA, remember, it's not going to earn money or lose money until you allocate those funds, meaning you invest them. So remember, from episode 3, the IRA is the tax status. It's not the investment vehicle. The investment vehicle is a stock or a bond or an annuity or a mutual fund or something like that.
Yeah, see, that's really an important point because you can put the money in there, but you need to allocate it based on your risk tolerance to make that money work for you. Otherwise, it's just sitting in there.
Right. So now that we've gotten those main points out of the way, let's make a list of all the similarities between traditional and Roth IRAs, okay?
Okay, so if you've got that piece of paper and you're taking notes, these are the points that would be on both columns.
Exactly, right. So here are the similarities between the two. Under normal circumstances, you can do an annual contribution of $5,500 if you're younger than the age of 50. And if you are 50 or older, you get the catch-up provision, which allows you to contribute up to $6,500 if you are, again, age 50 or older. As the account grows, meaning as long as the money stays in the account, you're not paying taxes on that growth, which means that that is growing tax-deferred, okay? And in order to cash out the entire account, you must be at least 59 and a half years old.
And by the entire account, what do you mean?
So the entire amount means the contributions that you've put in there and the growth that you've earned. So taking those monies out before you're 59 and a half means that that account could be subject to a 10% early withdrawal penalty on your year-end taxes.
Well, what qualifies as an unusual circumstance? Because I did notice you mentioned that there.
Well, that's another rabbit hole, but based on tax law, there has historically been some provisions like being a first-time home buyer, inheriting the IRA, and there's something called a Section 72T distribution, but again, that's another rabbit hole we just don't want to go down today. But the main points that I do want to emphasize are annual contributions at $5,500 if you're younger than 50, and if you're older than age 50, or if you're 50 or older, I should say, $6,500 for an annual contribution.
Right.
The magic age for distribution, taking the money out, is 59 and a half, and the growth on both of those accounts is tax deferred.
Okay, so what else?
That's it.
That's it? That's it. That's the only way they're similar, just those four things.
Yep, pretty much.
Okay, that's pretty easy enough. So let's jump into the differences. You want to just do traditional differences first?
Sure, absolutely. So a traditional IRA, the contributions are tax deductible, meaning the money that you put in there gets deducted from your taxes that year, okay? Traditional IRAs grow tax deferred, meaning you don't pay taxes on the growth every year. And on the distributions for the traditional IRAs, all monies from $1 that you would take out are fully taxable based on your income tax levels, okay? There is no income limit to contribute to a traditional IRA. However, when you reach age 70 and a half, the federal government requires you to take out a percentage of that IRA based on your age. It's called the required minimum distribution.
Okay, so no matter how much money you make, you can contribute earned income to a traditional IRA, but you just have to remember that contribution limit for 50 years and younger.
Correct.
And if you're 50 years or older.
Correct. That's right. All right. So now let's get into the Roth IRA.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Roth IRA contributions are not tax deductible, meaning you cannot write them off of your income taxes for that year. However, like traditional IRAs, Roth IRAs grow tax deferred, meaning you don't pay taxes on the growth every year. But the big difference here is on the distribution, where Roth IRA distributions come out income tax free.
Yeah, see, okay? That's the big one.
Right. And because there is no tax on the distribution, the IRS or the federal government does not require you to take out a required minimum distribution. So there is no RMD on a Roth IRA because you don't pay taxes on the distribution.
Well, in that case, theoretically, everyone should contribute to a Roth IRA.
Well, everyone can't contribute to a Roth IRA.
Okay. Of course not.
Of course not.
Okay, so help everyone understand what you mean by that.
Sure. Well, so high income earners cannot contribute to a Roth IRA. So let me give you an example. In 2018, a single taxpayer with a modified adjusted gross income of more than $135,000 cannot contribute to a Roth IRA. Also, in 2018, a married couple filing jointly cannot have a combined modified adjusted gross income of more than $199,000 and try to contribute to a Roth IRA.
So what if you and your spouse both already have a Roth IRA, but then your income increases to over $199,000 a year, like combined?
Right. So great question. So income limits don't affect existing Roth IRAs, meaning that you would have to cash them out or do something else with it. You just can't contribute to that Roth IRA for that tax year.
But the money can just stay in there and it can continue to grow, right?
Right.
So you can reallocate it or move the money around inside of the IRA to a different investment vehicle or something that you're looking for. And you can take out distributions. You just can't contribute to it anymore.
Exactly. You're correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So a Roth IRA, you know, technically is an account designed with these advantages in place for lower income earners, or for people that are just getting ready, you know, like just getting started. But having that ability to put in taxed money and then let it grow tax deferred seems like such a valuable tool. It would just be really cool, you know, if higher income earners who had more free income could take advantage of a similar benefit.
Well, there's actually a little known strategy that might be good if we talk about. I just don't want to go into the weeds so much about a strategy, but it's worth mentioning. It's called the backdoor Roth IRA.
Okay, well, fill me in.
Okay, so backdoor Roth IRAs are for high income earners,
okay?
Which means that, so here's how it works. High income earners can contribute to a traditional IRA, right? Because there is no income limit to contributing to a traditional IRA. And then they can convert it to a Roth IRA. Now, understand that they have to pay the tax on that conversion the year they convert it, but it's still a possibility for them to establish a Roth IRA, even though they may make too much money and can't contribute to a Roth IRA.
So, in theory, this could be a good strategy for high income earners over the next few years while those Trump tax cuts are in place, since in many instances, people have been bumped down into lower income brackets while the tax cuts are in effect, right?
Exactly. And it's also a good benefit for the younger people who are also high income earners.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, the thing that's sort of weird about it for me is that it's called a backdoor Roth IRA. It makes me feel a bit nervous because it sounds like you're doing something wrong. Like, I know it's on the up and up. It's just kind of a funny name for me.
Well, so again, that's a good point, good question. But at first, eligibility was limited because there was a conversion cap of $100,000. Meaning you couldn't make any more than $100,000 and convert your traditional IRA to a Roth IRA. But the conversion cap has been removed as older and higher income earners asked for the benefit of tax-free withdrawals in retirement. So it was eliminated so that you could convert your traditional IRAs to a Roth IRA and not have an income limit
there. Yeah. I mean, that's cool because as you get older, that's really when you need to be saving money, not getting taxed out the wazoo. And there's just so many ways that those IRAs get taxed, especially those required minimum distributions that we were talking about at age 70 and a half.
Right. And that's true because one of the major concerns I consistently run into with my clients is taxes in retirement.
Yeah.
And this is one strategy that can help them lower those taxable assets as they age. Now, obviously, you'd want to talk with a qualified tax professional who knows your situation, knows the current tax law, and who are there as your personal financial advocates, really.
No, absolutely. Someone who knows you.
Exactly.
You know, in some ways, you're kind of making the bet that taxes are going to be higher later than they are today. And we're in a time period of supposedly low taxes in 2018. So you're kind of making the bet that those, you know, to make those tax payments now and benefit on the distributions later when taxes are likely to be higher.
Well, remember what Will Rogers used to say. There are two certainties in life, death and taxes. The only difference between death and taxes is that death doesn't get worse every time Congress meets.
So true. So, Travis, what if people want to learn more?
Well, Kelly, I'm glad you asked. For more information on this or any other topics we've discussed, or to check out our disclaimer, go to www.investmentanswers.net or email us directly at info@investmentanswers.net. Investment Answers, leave uncertainty behind. Until next time, I'm Travis Turlaw.
And I'm Kelly Turlaw.
And thanks for listening.